thank you all for coming. Incredible crowd here today. Have many of our employees here gather around as well, so thank you for joining us all. This is a very exciting day for me. First, I'd like to start by saying I am honored and humbled by the faith and confidence shown in me by ownership. I'm extremely pleased to have the opportunity to lead this franchise at this time in this juncture. We have an opportunity to deliver on very clear goals that ownership has laid out in front of us, to deliver the kind of success that the fans of Cleveland should expect and demand. And I'm just truly feel blessed to be in a position to lead that effort and to be in front of all of the passionate people and all of the folks that are driven every single day to deliver on that vision. So being in a position as I am today is truly a dream come true, and I'd like to once again thank ownership and all of the people you see gathered here today that are part of that staff that have been working tirelessly to deliver on those goals every day. Suffice it to say that our ownership has gone very deep in their analysis this offseason of our franchise. In some cases, I was the object of that analysis, and in some cases, I participated in that analysis. Collectively, we arrived at a very difficult decision yesterday, and we acted upon that relative to our head coach, Mike Brown. I think as we have gathered here time and time again, some of your comments to me have been that you really appreciate, I understand that you all have a job to do, and that I understand there are certain things you need to ask. I would ask you now to understand that I have a job to do as well, and that does not include saying anything negative about a man that I believe to be an incredibly good human being and a family that I think has been as tremendous as you can possibly be in their stewardship of a franchise. I do think that there are questions you're going to ask that I'm just not going to be comfortable asking right now. Some of those questions may involve things about what characteristics are we looking for in the next coach. You're going to ask some things about whys that I'm not going to want to get into. This is not about anything that anyone has done wrong. This is about moving forward as a collective and being in unison and lockstep as we do so. What was done was in an effort to ensure that we make the greatest strides as quickly as possible to reach the level of success that's necessary. With that, I'd like to open it up into any questions that you might have.
Hey, Griff, Tom Withers, Associated Press. First of all, what is your timetable on hiring a new coach?
I would say that there's no precise timetable. We do not feel this is a race. This is not about being first. It's about getting it right. At the same time, if the right candidate that did meet the criteria that we set out is available and is interested in us as we are in them, we would act at the time that it presented itself. But we don't have a set timetable at this time.
And if I could follow, how can you pitch stability and continuity when you're on your third coach in 3 years?
It's a very fair question. I think for one thing, ownership's unwavering support has never changed. I also think this is not sometimes a function of a lack of stability as much as it's a function of a lack of fit. And I think all of these things have led us to this point today. This is going to be something on the court and off the court. And I've used this word a lot. I'm sure you've gotten tired of hearing it from me. But fit extends to every decision we make. It extends to what we're going to do to augment our front office. It extends to what we're going to do to augment our roster. And from a stability standpoint, we have the complete faith and confidence from ownership to deliver those things. And that's all you can ask for as a franchise, is we do have that stability. We have that backing constantly. And more importantly, we have the backing of a fan base that's absolutely boundless.
Mary Schmidt Boyer, Cleveland Plain Dealer. You hinted at this, but to be clear, could you expound on whose decision this was, whether it was Dan's, or you used the word collectively, so I presume you were involved in those discussions. And secondly, were the players consulted? There's a lot of talk out there that this was done to placate Kyrie. I'm just curious whether that's actually the case.
So you asked the first part I'd like to get back to. The second part I'd like to just say is patently false right off the bat. Any insinuation that Kyrie Irving had anything to do with this decision is patently false. It's unfair. He was not counseled on this decision, nor was he counseled on the previous coaching decision. It's a completely unfair assertion and one that I want everyone to understand very clearly that is not a narrative that we are going to go with. relative to the first part of your question, I think this is a situation that was unquestionably collaborative. You're only as strong as the relationship that exists as an organization. You're only as strong as the relationship that exists between ownership, the front office, and coaching. We have to move together and lockstep together, and that's what we're going to do from this day on, and we certainly arrived at that decision together.
Kenny Rota, Sportstime Ohio. David, congratulations. As far as your philosophy and the coach's philosophy, do they have to mesh? Are you looking for somebody that you're familiar with, you've worked with in the past, or are you open to everything and anything from college coaches to current, maybe assistants in the NBA and former head coaches that are looking for work?
So, again, there's two parts to that that I think are salient points. One, we're not going to rule out any coach at any level. College experience will not be something that's ruled out. Being a head coach in the NBA in the past will not be something that's ruled out. We're going to be very open-minded in that way. In terms of my philosophy and the philosophy of the coach, I would really hope, and I've said this to you all before when I got to come in front of you the very first time, I've had a primarily offensive-based focus with the people that I was raised by. And I think it's fair to say that the Cavaliers have had a defensive focus. What excited me the most about coming here is that I believe you find the truth in the middle. No franchise that's incredibly well run is all one thing. We need to find a way to speak to the best of all parts of the offensive background. I know the defensive background that's dyed in the wool of this franchise. Ownership believes in defense, I believe in offense, and there's a truth in the middle. We're going to find that.
Sam Amico, Fox Sports, Ohio. Have you been involved in a coaching search before? And if so, could you maybe walk us through the process a little bit on what you do as far as going looking for a coach?
I was involved with Steve Kerr in the coaching search when we replaced Mike D'Antoni as the head coach in Phoenix. That was a process that was very deep, I would say. It involved meeting with as many as 10 candidates and really getting serious and thorough with four. That, I think, was an experience that I learned a great deal from, in some cases what to do and in some cases what not to do. So I can't say that we did that flawlessly, but I know we tried. We went at it with the right approach, and I intend to build on that experience. And I know ownership has had experience with it as well, so I'll lean heavily upon them as well.
David, Fred McLeod, Fox Sports, Ohio.
Hey, Fred.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Some organizations more than others are relying upon analytics in terms of player development, player finding, even coaching staffs. Where do you sit on that? I assume maybe in the middle, but how reliant will you be?
Analytics are something that I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of. I got my very first job in basketball operations because of analytics to some degree. I also feel that there's a limitation to that. Once again, nothing is all one thing or the other. There's a middle ground there. And so I feel very confident that I understand analytics to know where they're useful. And I also think there's a time when the work of our scouting staff becomes more important. I'll look for a blend of those things and rely on all of the assets we have that have been made available to reach decisions. You know, once again, the bandwidth of this organization is mind-numbing, and we have the opportunity to use a lot of different analytic mechanisms and a lot of different decision-making philosophies, and so we'll do that.
David Rick Nolan from the Medina Gazette. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There has been some conjecture about a possible another addition to the front office. During your meetings with Dan, has that been discussed? Are you going to be the sole man, or could there be somebody hired either below or above you?
For starters, I'm not the sole man now. We've got a great staff. Trent Redden's our assistant general manager. We've got Kobe Altman's the director of pro scouting. We've got an existing staff. I did talk to them about my vision of what this needs to be moving forward. I think it's clear that we're going to need to augment our staff in some ways, and we will look to do that on and off the court.
David, Terry Pluto Point, New York. What would be your immediate goal for the team to look like next year and how to play next year?
And as we talked about at the end of season meeting, those five things haven't changed. Nothing's changed in the last 2 days to change my philosophy relative to that. We need to be bigger. We need to be smarter from a basketball IQ standpoint. I'd like us to be a team that's recognized as being tougher. I'd like us to be a better shooting team, and we need to address our fit. And those things have certainly not changed. If anything, our commitment to those five things is strengthened.
Mary Schmidt-Boyer, Cleveland Plain-Dealer. David, have you talked to anyone yet regarding the coaching search, or there's already a lot of speculation out there. Have you talked to anyone yet? Could anyone at this point be considered a front runner?
No, nobody could be considered a front runner. We did begin the process yesterday of analyzing potential names, analyzing potential fits for us. And I don't intend to give regular updates on where this process sits, which certainly you didn't ask me for, but just to be clear from the beginning. But we have started the process, certainly.
Bob Finan from the News Herald.
Hi, Bob.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Will you possibly interview some candidates this weekend in Chicago? Is that a possibility?
So pre-draft camp runs Wednesday through Friday for us in Chicago, and then the physical activities take place this weekend. I would hope that we would have some candidates potentially lined up to interview, but in terms of the timing of that, I can't tell you that it would take place in Chicago by any means, but we'll certainly be looking to get in touch with the candidates we identify as high-value targets early on.
Sam Amico, Fox Sports, Ohio again. Of those five things you say address our fit, what do you mean by that?
I'm sorry, could you ask that again?
You listed the five things: when we're bigger, smarter, recognized as tougher, better shooting, and was the last one
fit.
What do you mean by that?
And as we've talked about before, I think the fit of our roster needs to be pieces that make sense. You know, we've got ball dominant drive and kick creators. We need to be able to open the floor for them. We also probably need a little bit more ability to play from the inside out to make our team a little more balanced. There's just little things we tweak here and there. I think we have very, very good talent. I think we have all of the assets necessary to go acquire other talents that might be more high value to us at this time. This will not be something that requires overwhelming changes philosophically. It's going to be things that require putting all the chips on the table and saying this piece is the one we need to advance our cause, and we're ready to do that.
Griff, Tom Withers, AP. Bob wants to ask you about Johnny Manziel.
I'm so grateful somebody did. I can tell you this, I was excited that he and Kyrie had a relationship together. You know, just that Joe Hayden's at our games. I think the synergy we build as a city moving forward is going to be really exciting. And as a fan of the city of Cleveland, I have to be honest, I was excited.
A little broader question. I think there's been 20 coaching changes in the NBA. You've been in the league for a long time now. What's going on? Why is this trend continuing?
I think it's just become a more competitive league. I think there was a time when this was something that was viewed more as a game or a toy, perhaps, for some people that might have been involved, that it wasn't something that every fiber of their body was invested in winning in. We have ownership that's invested that way. And I think that's something that comes into play. I think you're seeing a very competitive league on the court, off the court, from an analytics perspective. People want to be known as one thing, and I think people are chasing that one thing from time to time. What has never changed about the league is that it's always been a copycat league, and all leagues and sports are. So I think you see there's a trend that gets followed here and there. My goal would be we don't follow that trend, but that we try to zig when everybody else zags, and that we become the sort of franchise that just gets results. I don't want to chase any trend. I'd like us just to get results.
David, Mark Schwab, 19 Action News. What do you think of a guy like Kevin Ollie, who's obviously got a lot of momentum behind him right now?
So I wouldn't want to speak to any specific candidates. I do appreciate the question. There'll be a time to speak about specific candidates, but now's not that time.
Tom Withers, AP again. Clearly, Dave, this was not all Mike's fault last year. How much accountability should the players hold for this decision?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Nothing's all one person's fault. I do think there's accountability to be shared everywhere. As I talked about before, when we came into the season, there were probably things we could have done better as a front office to set the table as well. So, yeah, this was a collective approach this season. We made progress collectively in some ways towards the end of the year, and we fell short collectively in some ways. So this was absolutely not the blame of anyone. It's shared by everybody.
David, Terry, Little Plain Dealer. A year ago, at this time, Dan Gilbert said, no more lottery parties. And basically the idea being that we'll be a playoff team this upcoming season, you know, the season just ended. Is that still the kind of a mantra?
Yeah, I don't, as a mantra, Terry, I don't know that I think that was even a fair assertion. I do think that this is something that's not comfortable for any of us. Our lack of results are not comfortable, and they're not something we accept. So for me to sit here and say no more lottery parties, of course we don't want more lottery parties. It means we fail. I don't think it's a big story that somebody says we don't want to be a lottery team. Nobody wants to be a lottery team. We'll know we're succeeding when we're winning and we're playing right now during this time of year, and that's our intention.
Because the difficult thing on that, I mean, you could say that's 4 years in a row now for your fans, but, you know, basically four perhaps of the worst years in the franchise, very close. And do you feel pressure, I guess, to turn this around quickly?
I don't. I feel a great opportunity. This is a golden opportunity. If this had been a perfect situation, I wouldn't be sitting in front of you right now. This is an opportunity for all of us to get better, to turn over every stone, to pursue everything we possibly can in the hunt for success, and we're going to do that. And I've been placed in a position now where I get to lead that charge, and I can't be more excited about it. But no, that's not pressure packed. That's what we all do this for. You know, we all take these jobs because we're competitors. We seek these challenges. So I'm extremely energized by it.
David, congratulations. Joe Lowell, 92.3 The Fan.
Joe.
Dan Gilbert has a perception of being a rather hands-on owner. Will you be making the decision on the next coach, and will the next coach report directly to you?
So Dan does have a reputation as a very hands-on owner because our ownership group is very involved. They're very passionate, and they're very available to us to counsel and to talk and to collaborate. This will be a collaborative effort. I will not make any decision alone, but I will absolutely be leading this process. And I am really excited about building a relationship with that coach. And as I said before, you're only as strong as that relationship, that trio, and that bond's going to be very strong.
David Frobenclaw again, Fox Sports Ohio. How significant was it for you in terms of pursuing this full-time position to be in a perfect fit with ownership and be in lockstep with the philosophies, because you've had other opportunities and are well respected around the league?
Very much so. As I said earlier, some of the times you turn down opportunities you turn down because you believe you can't be in lockstep with ownership, that you don't share the same vision and goals. And there's never been a time that I've been doing this job since I took over in February that I had any doubt that we could advance each other's goals, that we belong together in that way. I would say the fit with ownership had everything to do with the decision that I made. And that we as a basketball group are going to continue to make every decision because of that. They give us incredible opportunity, and we intend to cash in on that.
David, Kenny Rhodes, Sports Time Ohio. You mentioned you felt you had the roster, the players to turn this thing around, but yet those same players had two different coaches and you've had the same results. Why are you so confident that the player combination is the right mix as opposed to it being the problem?
Yeah, and if I gave you the impression I think this mix is the right mix, it's not what I intend to say. I believe we have the right assets to find the right mix. We have everything we're going to need to make a run at the pieces we do need. There certainly are some pieces that don't fit on this roster, and there are some things we need to add to our roster to make us better and to make us stronger. So this is not a complete product. This won't be a complete product when we're winning all the time. It never is. You're always going to be tweaking. But I do believe that because of the cap space we have, because of the pick situation we find ourselves in and the young talent we have, we're going to be very attractive as a partner when we do look for certain particular targeted pieces.
David, Joe DeVille here, Plain Dealer. You talked a lot about working in concert with Dan Gilbert. Just wondering why we haven't heard from him yet, and if we're going to, is there anything that he can add to this?
Well, in some ways, I think this is a sign that he has great confidence in us as a basketball operations team and in me as a leader. I went to them and told them from the very, very beginning, I intend to lead this process. And I asked for their trust and faith in that, and they've shown it. And Dan and his ownership group are incredibly involved. They're very available. It didn't work for his schedule to be here, and it was time for somebody to get up and do this, and that's what I do.